Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Psalm 121 was my mom's favorite psalm. This morning I am remembering my mom. And to our friends on Zoom this morning, Dad, good morning. Ultimately, I've been praying that the Lord would be praised this morning. And that I would take great care as I attended to his word, that his majesty would be upheld, that our worship would be pleasing this morning to his sight, It is my hope and my trust that this morning the promise of the gospel will be understood. I must admit that prayer for many of us is a very personal, private, and intimate undertaking. We express our desires, our fears, we express our sins, we lift up our praise, and we lay before the throne of grace our pleas. Prayer, my friends, is significant. It takes faith in Christ Jesus for them to be heard. And we must then, in humble reliance, wait patiently for his answers that are in perfect timely fashion. Prayer, the action and the concept, the blessing is a huge portion of the Christian life. On June 5th at 4:05 p.m., my mother, Gretchen Johanna Rosen, went to be with the Lord. The events that led up to her life were perhaps some of, if not the hardest moments of my life, both emotionally and spiritually. Please know that I am okay. My family is okay. My brothers and their families are okay. My dad is okay. Because we put our trust and we put our faith in Jesus Christ. As my mom did. And he does not disappoint. In fact, one aspect of my faith in the walk of Christ has been strengthened as a result. And it is my prayer, Lord. And let me ask you in these moments that we have as a family, what other options did we have? But to appeal to our Father in heaven for his help and for his aid in our time of distress. My friends, he heard our petitions. The Holy Spirit brought comfort to us. He has given me peace. He has allowed me to pray this and to rest confident that the Lord himself had a place set at his table for my mom, who is now fully clothed in her robe of righteousness. It's hard to be sad when you think about the glory that my mom is now experiencing. My prayer life has changed for that. My desire is for you to understand and grasp the gift of prayer. grab it anew and appreciate it for what it is. And to understand the immense cost that it took to make it available to you. The title of my sermon this morning is Prayer, Appealing to God's Will. If that sounds somewhat familiar to you, it is because it is directly from the Short Catechism. Question 98 and question in the Short Catechism. What is prayer? The answer is prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Jesus Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. So prayer, what is it? Why do we do it? Is it effective? Is there a reason for us to be confident? Many prayers, my friends, are offered up under duress. But they may seem and sound like despair. They may seem or sound as if they lack confidence. I would suggest that if a non-believer were to hear us pray in that manner, they would likely scoff at us. But they perhaps might think to themselves that we are simply praying to a weak man that hangs on a cross. And they would be correct if that is all that he did. Let me remind you as we begin. To look a bit closer at the richness and blessing of a healthy prayer life. And who made it possible for you to pray? Who intercedes on our behalf when the groaning is too deep for words? Let me remind you of who Jesus is. This man that hanged upon the cross is also the Son of God. He set the moon and the stars in their place. He counted them and he has named every one of them. He made it possible for the sun to stop moving, for the moon itself to be stopped. There's never been a day like it before nor since. That comes out of Joshua chapter 10. Jesus Christ withheld the rain. He flooded the earth. He walked upon the water. He silenced the sea. He drove out legions of demons. He rebuked Satan himself. He was tended to by angels. He died. Yes, he died. But he raised, my friends. He appeared and he ascended into heaven. He now sits upon his throne. He was and is your propitiation for sin, your substitute for your sin. He has justified you, sanctified you, he has adopted you, and he tells you to come in prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 13, he says, if any among you are in trouble, let them pray. And if any of you are happy and joyful, let them sing songs of praise. My friends, this is the one that taught us to pray. And he is speaking to us this morning. So point one of my sermon is prayer often exposes our preoccupations of life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. My friends, you know this. Life can be scary. And it can be very difficult. And we are not empowered to change the circumstances of our lives. Not always. However, we are never alone. You've heard already this morning, not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, lift up your request and allow it to be known by God. It's Philippians 4, 6. It is true we are not always empowered to control our own thoughts. Yet let me remind you, and let's be reminded, that your mind is renewed through prayer. Your thoughts can betray what you know to be true. We wage warfare often upon ourselves in our own minds. without ever speaking a word. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is a reminder to you, and is one for me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern the will of God, that which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is perfect. We cannot simply will or command faith in our children and in our loved ones. Yet as believers, we know where true hope is found. It is at the throne of grace, which is accessible to you through prayer. Praying for others, praying for the lost to be found. Praying for blessing and not cursing is not our own design or formula. It was established by Christ to our benefit. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Our sinful nature and careless actions, our poor behavior, it can lay and often does lay heavily upon us. For my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, if you are struggling with sin and Satan exploits your weakness, then be assured in your expression of sin, in your prayers, that much is happening. If we have sinned, we will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. These are not my words. This is James chapter 5, verse 16. If this morning you find that the preoccupations of life press upon you and you are burdened, then dear brother or sister, remember that Jesus found you. And realize that you are his and he will care for you even unto death. Psalm 40, verse 2. This is where you were found. He brought me out of a pit of destruction, out of the mire of blood. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he has made my footsteps firm. You may not feel empowered to control your own life, but you know the one who is. Lay your concerns and preoccupations of life before the throne of grace. Write down the list. Sharon will tell you in my Bible, there are lists of prayer requests. And I'm thankful that I noted the date. I'm also thankful to share with you that there are a lot of check marks when these prayer requests were answered. We have to be mindful of these things so that we can also rejoice and give praise when our prayers are answered. Paul Miller wrote a wonderful book called The Praying Life. I need to thank my friend Joel for reminding me about that book earlier this week when we spoke. I had totally forgotten about that. And I went back to the book after hanging up with Joel. And I'm thankful that I highlighted things in the book. I didn't have to spend my week rereading it. But one of the books in the book that I highlighted I'd like to share with you this morning. This entire book is a statement about our habits within prayer. And Paul Miller writes, and I quote, many people fail in prayer because they are pursuing the act rather than God. As you pray about the preoccupations of life, please think of the one that is hearing you. You do not come on your own merits. It is Jesus Christ himself that has earned this privilege for us. As I close this portion of the sermon, let me ask you again, what are your preoccupations of life? What are your hindrances? in your prayer life? What is preventing you from conversing with God? Is it work? Is it relationships? Is it illness? Is it sickness? Is it carelessness or laziness? Is it death and birth? Is it school? My friends, is it COVID-19, the loss of your routine? This list is endless. Let me suggest that you establish a time to come before the Lord in prayer. And before we begin praying, my friends, breathe. Just breathe. The Holy Spirit that is within you is known as the breath of life. Breathe. Breathe knowing because you know the loving, gracious, and merciful God that cares for you. Rest in knowing that. And do not deprive or deny yourself of petitioning God for things agreeable to his will. Our theme of sermon this morning is the word and value of prayer. If God's sovereign and my entire life is already mapped out, why bother to pray? It's not going to make a difference. Because he commands it, is your answer. He commands it. Jesus himself is glorified through it and by it. And my friends, you need it. When you pray with this mindset, you are not simply praying out of compliance. Your heart is being conformed, and your mind is being conformed to his will. I would suggest to you that if someone makes that statement, why bother to pray? There's also a tinge of sarcasm within that statement. And sarcasm is nothing more than released pride. You see, when a statement of that type is made, the individual that makes that statement is trying to conform God to their will and their understanding. They are creating a God in their image. They have forgotten who he is. And they have made statements with the limited understanding that we as mere men and women have. We do not conform to God's will and his desire through prayer. However, I would suggest that in and through prayer, our own thoughts and will are being transformed to his desire for us. Now, quite honestly, there is an entire sermon right here. And I am not going to preach that sermon. There are men far more gifted and talented with much deeper and richer understanding of the gospel and scriptures than I have. But let me ask this. How often do we attempt to construct our own futures rather than expecting to be upon the creator and builder of heavens and the earth? My kids have heard this time and time again. Sorry, Morgan, Devin, and Ashley, and Tom. They've heard this. Do not attempt to construct your own future. Ask Devin if I could share this morning. He and Morgan placed 13 bids on homes. Lost all of them. I challenged them with the thought, are they trying to construct their own future? 25, 30,000, 40,000, over asking. No points there. My friends, they were given a gift. They were given a gift in a home that should have had dozens of bids. Not a single person looked at it. One offer, theirs. What a reply to their earnest pleas, God's blessing upon them as they attempt to start their own lives in their home together. Pray. prayer is effective and it is effectual. But by praying together as a congregation, as an individual, as husband and wife, as girlfriend and boyfriend, as people that are engaged and looking forward to marriage, or people that may consider becoming engaged, let me urge you to learn to pray together. If you are united in prayer, your spirits are likewise united. And you are also expressing aloud your humble reliance and dependence upon God. Our Lord builds you in your integrity. Prayer will strengthen your friendships. It will strengthen our families and our marriages. Parents, pray for your children, that they may be brought into the covenant of grace. I'd also dare say that churches are strengthened through prayer. And so as your elders lead you in prayer, pray with your elders. Pray with Brian as he leads us. In these moments, we are united as a church with God's people. A Christian's praying is an expression of our life in Christ. And if there is a new life within us, that life finds its expression in prayer. Prayer is a constant reminder of God's tender mercy and ever-listening ear. And we pray to make heaven and earth. The one that never slumbers nor sleeps, which is from Psalm 121. Prayer exalts Christ, and in prayer we are exposed as he was, dependent upon God the Father to fulfill his plan for our lives. Prayer is your daily profession of faith. And faith is hope, is things hoped for and yet not seen. It is a gift of great value. Jesus died in order for you to obtain it. In my talk last week, I learned something about prayer. It can be hard to do. As my mom began to struggle to think clearly and to speak, we engaged in family prayer, holding hands at the kitchen table. And as my mom prayed, she did so. So simple. So beautiful. She thanked God. She thanked him for his work. She thanked him for his kindness, his goodness, his truth. She exposed her soul as she looked forward to being with him forever and ever. She said that repeatedly. Forever and ever. Jesus reigned forever and ever. I shared this with my dad. It bothered me at first. It really bothered me. Because I thought my mom had become lost in her own thoughts and in her mind. It has taken me 2 months to realize that phrase, that statement, was my mom's expectation of Jesus' power to save her. She was praising the one that she had served with future expectation. She was praising him. She did not pray for healing. She prayed for Christ to be glorified, as we all should. My prayer life has changed. My friends, perhaps yours needs to be changed as well. Or perhaps you've set it down. And you need to pick it up again. I pray that this message might spur you to that end. So here's the question. What is prayer work? Well, Jesus is our perfect example. In Mark chapter 1, after he has been baptized, and he goes out to the wilderness and he's tended and he's confronted by Satan himself, after Peter, Andrew, and James, we read that Jesus rose very early and went out to pray. In John chapter 17, if you have not read this, jot this down for yourselves. This is Jesus Christ's high priestly prayer. If you want to know how much Jesus loves you, read this again and read it again. In John chapter 17, he prays not for himself, my friends. He prays for us, the ones given to him by God the Father. Read John chapter 17. As Jesus hanged upon the cross, he prayed three times. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, Jesus lifts up his voice and he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? It's a prayer of supplication and pleading. It's amazing, though, that in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, the prayer that Jesus expresses is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As a prayer of intercession, it is amazing that he was able and willing to pray for the very ones that had tortured and now continued to torment him. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, it's the final breath of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a prayer. You know it. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As a prayer of trust, faith, and confidence. He is our perfect example of prayer. My friends, this is a very important thing to consider. It cannot be that prayer was a necessity for Jesus and it is an option for us. It is a worthy and valuable instrument of worship, praise, and thanks. It is supplication. It is asking for intercession, adoration, thanksgiving. My friends, you have all of these things at your hands, in your heart and your mind. Pray. My final point this morning is a question. Is your prayer life like a dull shovel or like a pointed sword or spear? This may sound silly to you, but I have a favorite tool at home. I intended to bring it this morning. I'm probably better than I did not. Fred, you know that I spent all these years in construction and building. My favorite tool is a leather-wrapped S-wing hammer that I found under a tree next door to my house in Syracuse after a construction crew had built my neighbor's home. I was mowing the lawn at 10 or 12, and there's this shiny hammer under a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had that hammer for over 40 years. And the reason that I wanted to bring it with, to you to share it with you this morning is that it is not shiny here. Not even close. But the leather handle is confronted with my hand. My hammer is bent. There are gouges and there are scratches. And anybody that looked at this hammer, good thing to discard it. My friends, I have to tell you, if I put that hammer down, if I were to misplace that hammer, I would earnestly look. I would be outside at night with a flashlight because it's important to me. Have you set your prayer life down? Have you simply set your prayer life down? Has it become misplaced in the busyness of your life? Has it become lost as a part of your priority? If so, my friends, you are missing a tool, one that should be your favorite. Your life of prayer should be focused. It should be used frequently. And it should be comfortable. However, it should not be done without reverence and humility. We dare not lose track of who we pray to. King David prayed, and in so doing, he teaches us some basic principles. And I'd like to share what he has shared. I just haven't had time to speak before he's up here. Psalm chapter 5, the book of Psalms, many, if not most, written by King David. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly. Let me encourage you to seek his blessing each and every day. As you begin your day, ask that the work of your hands might glorify our Father in heaven. Psalm 55, verse 17. King David again, morning, noon, and night, I cry out in distress, and he will hear my voice. Ladies and gentlemen, pray with confidence. We've been told to come boldly with our requests before the throne of grace. Psalm 59, verse 16. I will sing of your strength and proclaim your loving devotion. David boasted in the Lord. My friends, boast in your Lord. Share the good news. Psalm 119, verse 147. I rise before dawn and I cry for help. In your word, I have put my hope. Ladies and gentlemen, King David was looking forward. He was not being hindered by the sins of his past. As we pray in faith, we pray with hope, looking forward to the Lord's will in our lives. And it sounds so easy. And yet, here's the challenge, and here's the threat to our prayer life. Satan's tools are subtle, and they are effective. Isolation, guilt. Ladies and gentlemen, sorrow, regret, remorse, loneliness. These things rob us of our desire to commune with God. James chapter 3, verse 6, 8, and 10. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It corrupts the entire person. Out of the same mouth comes both praise and cursing. My friends, how do we resolve this? How do I praise and curse with such ease? Dear friends, sharpen your mind. We must sharpen our minds. We must focus our attention and seek and request the Lord's blessing. You must put on your armor. We are all likely familiar, and if not, you will become so now. Your armor includes the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, and includes the shield of faith that you pick up. It is your helmet of salvation that guards your mind. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And after you put on all of your armor that I've just shared with you, guess what the gospel tells you to do? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in your mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Prayer is the one piece of armor that we have that is both offensive and defensive. The sword works just like my hammer. We must learn to wield it like a cherished tool. You must use it and it must be sharp. Put down the dull shovel of prayer. Pick up the sword of prayer that Christ won for you. I do not know, nor do I pretend to understand the challenges that many of you face. Oh, young and old. God knows the desires of your heart. He knows your needs. He knows your thoughts. He knows the turmoil that is often ensnared and trapped in your mind. He knows them. He offers you the opportunity to speak with him. Take it. Lift up your voice in Jesus' name and pray. Lay open without hesitation these things of importance and pray in the name of Jesus Christ that his will on your behalf, will be done. There is a blessing in prayer. The pastoral blessing is something you've heard every week. This pastoral blessing is how I close. Now to him who is able to do far more exceedingly and abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the promises found within you. Lord, we ask that you bring a calm to our hearts, knowing that you indeed are the one that is sovereign and that our lives, Lord, are in your hand. And yet, Lord, you have given us the opportunity to petition. Lord, that you hear and that you respond. Lord God, might we listen as we have now been instructed to come boldly before the throne of grace. Delay the thoughts, the concerns, and those things that so often distract us before the throne. Lord God, would you be merciful and minister to us? Would you answer the prayers of our hearts? Father, would you make blessing abundant upon us and upon our souls? Would you call our loved ones that are outside of faith, Lord, to know you? Father, that you would claim them as your own, that they would be redeemed. Lord, for those of us that walk daily, in this life, the Father, not of this world, would you please guard and protect us? Would you please lead us as Father, not in our face and forth? Would you loose our mouths so that we might express the promise of the gospel to our friends? Lord, we are thankful, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in us, that you allow us to breathe. Lord, that it is through you that our prayers are effective. And Holy Spirit, as we often find ourselves in a difficult position where it is so difficult or almost impossible to pray, we are thankful that the Holy Spirit, Lord, communicates when the groanings are too deep for words. Lord God, I thank you for the love of one another, for this entire congregation, for her walk, Lord, as a witness and as a servant of your gospel. Lord, I am thankful that she is in your presence. Lord, as we worship you from afar, she is worshiping you as she glows upon her face. Lord God, give us a restful day. Forgive us for our sins. And it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.